Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. It's hot in here. This is a place where it's hot. The hottest church in town. That's what I'm hearing. Hot. We're glad that you're here. If you're just visiting, we're so glad to have you as our guests. Be welcome here. We pray the same thing. What we pray is when people come here, they'll have the freedom to have an experience with the living Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. An encounter through His Word, via His Spirit, so that He can get glory from your life. That's what we're hoping for. That's what I hope for me and all of us. We have some, we do have the awesome opportunity to let our children from pre-K all the way up to sixth grade, which is like 12 years old, to go to a children's church, which is taking the gospel and putting it on a level that better suits their age. So what we're going to do at that time, if that's you, we're going to invite you to go. I'm going to say, ready, break, and just kind of, let's see who we got. There's a few. Here we go. They walking. They showing us how. I heard a phone ringing, and every once in a while it's just good to advertise some things about phones. This isn't the place to, you know, everybody can make a mistake, come in and not turn your phone off. Have you been there and done that? I have. I've been there and I've done that, and it's like, oh my goodness. Now, just a little phone etiquette. Do not take the phone out your pocket and answer and say, yo, what's up? What's going on? What you doing? Nah, I'm up in church. Nah, sermon ain't no good. Nah, okay, man, where you gonna go eat at? You know, that's where it's pushing it. That's where it's pushing it. That's phone etiquette. I say that because we do have some young folks who have phones, and a phone is not the same thing to a young person as to an older person. You know what a phone is to me? Something I communicate with. I talk to somebody. I text. I just broke into texting like a year ago. And so I'll talk and I text. But young folks, if you're like Dustin, how old are you? 21? If you're like Dustin's age, you about can't leave that phone alone. There's a strange attraction to that phone. Because that phone is life, and life is the phone. And you don't even call it a phone. I don't even know what you call it. My iPhone. iPhone. Like it has an ego. Like it's a person. It's an iPhone. And you got Candy Crush on the phone. And you got, you know, Facebook on the phone and email on the phone. And you can look up what the weather is going to be like in 3 minutes from now on the phone. What's going to be like 3 minutes from now? Oh, same like it is now. That's wild, but how about 3 minutes from then? Oh, same that it is now. You know, if we had had these phones back then, you never had to invent Windows. Because, you know, you just look outside. I look outside. Well, it's sunny. How do you know? Look, I didn't even have to look at my phone. So I get that, but little phone etiquette. Put the phone away. I teach Bible class at Mississippi Delta Community College. I'm privileged and honored. Half my students have the Bible on phone. I know they're playing me. You know, I just know they're playing me. They're sitting there, they're like, yeah, I'm looking up that verse. You know, they're back there, you know, doing their, they're figuring out what they're going to eat lunch. But anyways, if you have the Bible on phone, that's cool. Just be really looking it up. You could turn, or you can rub your way to Psalm 119 if you have the Bible on your phone. For the rest of, for us more, you know, technologically challenge, turn in your Bible to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, longest chapter in the book of Psalms. It'd take about 20 minutes to read it out loud, so bear with me. I'm just kidding. We're just going to read a short paragraph in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has some other distinctions. One, there are eight different words that refer to the Word of God throughout Psalm 119. And every verse, or every couplet, every verse, you find a mention of the Word of God through one of those eight words, I think except for in two verses. So in the 175, is it? It's 176 verses, all but two make a direct reference through one of those eight words to the Word of God. So what is Psalm 119 about? It's about the Word of God. I mean, it's just, whether you're hiding it in your heart, and it's a lamp unto your feet, whether it's made you more wise than all your teachers, it's about the Word of God. But there's another distinction. The word for what we would translate revival, or to revive, to quicken in the Old King James, is used more in the book of Psalms than any other book in the Bible. But it's used more in that one chapter than anywhere else in the whole book of Psalms and in the Bible. It's constantly referencing being nourished, revived, quickened, strengthened, brought to life by the Word of God. That's what we're going to talk about. How we need to be revived through the Word of God. We need it. And it don't matter who you are in this room. As a matter of fact, it don't matter who you are in this city. You need to experience the reviving, strengthening, nourishing power of the Word of God in your life. This is good for everyone. Saint and sinner, rich and poor, black and white, educated and not. It's good for everyone. You are not going to run into someone for whom the Word of God is meaningless or useless. There is something God wants to do in their life through that Word. And so we're just going to look at one paragraph today. Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160. This paragraph contains that word for revive or quicken more than any other paragraph. Psalm 119 is broken into paragraphs. Each one of them highlights a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's really an interesting piece of literature. Each one of them, but in each one of those paragraphs, you know, there's different emphasis. Well, in this paragraph, that word revive, that word to quicken, to strengthen, is there three times more than any of the other paragraphs in this psalm. So more than any of the other paragraphs, we're really hitting in like to the epicenter of where God is showing that His Word is nourishment for you and me, where His Word is what we need to revive us, to bring us to life, to quicken us, strengthen us. And as a pastor, I got to say this. I want folks who come to Christ Community Church, whether you're a member, whether you're a visitor, whether you're just going to be here this one time and go, listen, there is something in the Word of God for you that you need. There is a meaning and a reason for you to get to go through the discipline of getting into the Word of God daily. You need what God has for you in His Word. This is what it says. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous, and I am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Let me pray for us. Father God, we've heard your word. Would you apply it? Apply it to our heart through your Spirit. Have your way with us. Teach us. Show us how to identify where we are with you, what our prayer should be and could be. Help us, Father, to know you, to not be neglectful about coming to your word, about trusting you and trusting your word. Father, help us to be those who not only call on you and ask, revive us, but we also look onto the world and recognize that there's a great need for your gospel, your word, your true and eternal word to get out into Grenada, into Mississippi, up in Detroit, over in Parchman, wherever there is a need for your word today. And you have given us the privilege to be the people of your word. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody needs God. Everybody needs to hear something from His Word. You were not made different than anybody else. If man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, then we all need it. We all need bread. We all need food. I know there's some low-carbers right now saying, I don't need no bread. Keep that bread away from me. Makes you fat, that bread. Well, it's better to be fat and alive in the Lord. Take my word for it. But my point is this. We all need it. So we're going to, in this message, look how the saints need it, how the sinners need it, and how God provides it. The saints need it. The sinners need it. And God provides it. Are you a saint? Are you a saint? Most people I know say, no. Matter of fact, I know I shy away from that term. We call me St. John now. That'll disturb me. But you know what? The reality is, if you have come to know Jesus Christ, if he has washed you clear in his blood, if he has made you a part of his family, you are a saint. You may not be saintly in your works, in your action, in your performance, but I tell you what, he wants you to grow in that too. He wants your performance to add up to your status. The status you have in heaven through Christ is a saint. Woo! People, that scares people to death. I'm no saint. Oh, you know, but let's wrestle with that for a moment. What is a saint? Now, people don't always like my definition, but I don't always care what they like. A saint's not but a sinner saved by grace. A sainter, what? A sainter. A sainter. You got sinners and sainters. A saint wasn't someone who was born a saint. They certainly didn't get it through their genetic code and the DNA passed from their parents. They didn't get it through excellent training in school. They got it when they were born again through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how sainthood is found. And that was nothing of themselves, but all of God. The saints, those who have come to know the Lord, need the Lord. We need him. We need him to persevere in a world that has come to hate God. We need him in a world that is heavy against God's people. We need him in a world where we've been called to take on a God-sized task that's much bigger than we can do. We need the Lord. Saints of God, you need the Lord. And I want you to hear this cry, this prayer. It's in your bulletin. You have a bulletin like this in your handout that you got. And this is what I'll be following for those who are here. You might say, he might be making all this up. But I do make it up, but I put it on the paper first so you know what I'm making up. Listen to this prayer under the heading, the saints need to be revived. The saints need to be revived. I just took all these things that this believer, we can tell this author is a believer. He trusts God. He has a relationship with God. He is a saint of God. And yet listen to the desperateness of his prayer. Consider my affliction and deliver me. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me. Revive me. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord. There's a desperateness to the pleading prayer of the saint. There's a deep-seated conviction. I need the Lord. I can't stand alone. My afflictions are many. He's going to say his adversaries and persecutors are many. Let's put it in our language. Our bills are many. Our circumstances are stark. We need the Lord. We get overwhelmed. You know, I've been having some talks with my wife. Oh, she's in here. You're in here, aren't you, baby? How you doing? You always got to watch what you say. We've been having some encouraging talks. And I'm just going to share my side of them, but I've been truly encouraged by my wife because I can come to her and say, I'm overwhelmed. I'm over my head. I can't do anything else. Whether it be a situation with, you know, how busy I pack my plate, whether it does, you know, with areas where I'm weak and I can't really handle it, I'm so glad that God has given me someone I can go to and be honest and say, I'm over my head in this. I'll tell you, you might say, well, I don't have someone like that. If you are a child of God, you certainly do have someone like that. You certainly do have someone. We think we ought to come to God and bring our strengths. What kind of strength did this person bring to God? My afflictions. plead my cause. Be my defense attorney, O Lord. Be the one who stands in the gap and helps me. Deliver me. Redeem me. Now, this is a saved person. This is a delivered and redeemed person. What's he talking about? He's talking about those circumstances. He's talking about those things that overwhelm you. Oh, how many times has the Lord saved? We're not just talking about spiritually you're going to heaven, but he saved from circumstance. He saved and he pulled us out of what was going to swamp us and overwhelm us. Oh, how good is God? But I'm telling you something, sometimes the saints get to thinking they don't have any problems or shouldn't have problems or shouldn't be honest about those problems and certainly shouldn't let God see the problems that we have. But what kind of baloney is that? That's religious baloney. That came through church history saying saints ought to be those who have perfect attire, perfect appearance. Now, I know what you're saying. John, you're so handsome, it's not fair. I know. I've been cursed with good looks. My point is this. That's not what God's after. God hasn't asked you to sit here and be someone who doesn't need his help. God didn't hand you the power, the ring of power to walk around with, and now you can go around making all your circumstances right so you don't need God anymore. Saints of God, we need God. We need him every day, and we need him more and more. We're going to look at how we can interact with him, but I just want to develop our need. Do y'all get that? Do y'all see where you need God? Anybody a parent? You need God. Anybody a spouse? You need God. Anybody trying to, you know, go through school or put somebody through school? You need God. Anybody got a job? Did I say that already? You need God. Has anybody looked at the Great Commission? Go you therefore into all the nations, making disciples of all nations. You need God. You want to know what's cool about the Great Commission? It comes with a promise. One promise. It's not a promise of ministerial success either. What's the one promise given in the Great Commission, if you know? I'll be with you. So what does that mean? You know what we need more than anything else in the Great Commission? You know who we need more than anything else in the Great Commission? We need God. It's a task bigger than you and I. To pastor a church is a task bigger than any one person or group of people. I mean, we could do it. It can be done administratively. It can be done in a lot of different ways. But to really pastor and see growth in the Lord, that's a God-sized task. To lead your family in Bible study and to see what them come to the Lord is a God-sized task. There's a person in our church now who needs God. They need God. Two of their siblings, one going into surgery. Still they're praying because they're not doing very well. And the same week had a sister who passed away unexpectedly in that way. What do you think? You think they need God? You're right, they need God. Aren't you glad God's for us and not against us? Aren't you glad God loves us? And you know, that sweet sister is right here in this, right here. She's hearing me say this. She didn't know I was going to say that. But he loves you, and he's got strength for you, and he knows how to build you up. There ain't no denying that you need him. There's no denying that you can go on in this life. Because you'd been saved. You prayed a prayer when you were 8, and now you can do it on your own. No way. You need them. You need them every day. You need them every hour, just like the song says. Oh, I need you. How I need you. What about the sinner? What about the sinner who's an enemy of God? You know, I reckon there's some of them in here today. We're just going to call spades spades. We're going to call it like it is. Let me tell you something. If you have not given your life to God, the Bible says that you are at hostility or you are at enmity. There is a division between you and God if you have not come to Christ. And I know we're that place where everyone's welcome. You're still welcome. Sinners are welcome. He's not here today, so I can pick on him. We got a guy in here who got a tattoo that says Jesus across his forearm. I'm not recommending you do that, but if you already tattooed up already, you know, not too bad. So he's got this big old tattoo that says Jesus right here. And underneath it, he put it on Facebook. It says, sinners welcome, others tolerated. Sinners welcome, others tolerated. I love that mindset. Because listen, there's people in here, and you don't know. You have not, or you do know, you have not made a firm connection to Jesus Christ. You have not put your faith in him. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says you're at odds with God. It says you're an enemy of God. That might hurt your feelings, but I'd rather hurt your feelings and let God work at healing you so you get saved than me not tell you the truth and you go on through your life and find out at death that you're an enemy with God. It's much better to find out now. You know, I lived my first half of my life an enemy of God, not caring what God wanted, not caring that his son died for me. I didn't care. Didn't believe in God. Didn't give him the time of day. Didn't yield up my life. Didn't care what he thought. Didn't care about his people. It says here, the wicked are far away from salvation. Salvation is far away from the wicked. Truly, that's how I lived. You might not know this of yourself, but if you haven't accepted Christ, truly, that's how you live. You can fool yourself for a long time, but you ain't going to say that that fat preacher at Christ Community Church didn't tell you so. The only way to have friendship with God is through Christ. That's the only way. But you know what? That's exactly what the Word tells us. Now, when I look at this, I hear some animosity toward the author, from the author of Psalm 119, towards the wicked. They're my persecutors. They're my enemies. Salvation is far from them. I see the treacherous and I'm disgusted. We get the saint's view of the sinner. We get the saint's view of the sinner. You know, it's troubling. Has anybody been troubled when you look out at how our world's going? You know, I read an article. Y'all remember the Duck Dynasty thing came on? Phil Roberts was asked a question. It's a shame in our country when you just can't answer a question the way you want to answer it, even if you agree with the answer or you don't. But if you ask somebody a question, you need to let them answer. So they asked him about sin, and he went off about sexual sin, homosexuality, bestiality, adultery and promiscuity among heterosexuals. He just railed against all kind of sexual sin. And they had all this, whoo, you got to pull him off the air. Whoo, you got to pull him out of Walmart. You got to pull him out of Target, or you got to pull him wherever. You know, A&E's got to drop him. And they went through all this business, which is so silly. I mean, if you don't agree with somebody, you just don't agree with somebody. Not much tolerance from the tolerance people. So my point, though, is this. Have you ever looked at that stuff and just kind of gotten disgusted? I read this article about that from executives from different networks, ABC, and they wrote some stuff. And they said this, what can we say? And they used this word. This is what really caught me. What can we say about the morals in this country when we'll let a TV personality say something like what Phil Roberts did? The morals in this country are going down. And I'm going, what? Could there be any more polar opposite? Could there be anything more different from how I saw that whole thing? Oh, my goodness. I'm scratching my head. I'm realizing that's so weird. This is what I came to. And it's here in this psalm. Salvation is far away from them. We can't expect lost people to act like saved. We can't ask sinners to act like saints and to think like saints and to speak like saints and to value the things that those who've come to know God love and appreciate. We can't do it. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to us. But what we can do, and what I realize in this psalm, the same thing they need is the same thing we need. You know what they need? They need the Word of God. If salvation is far from them, which it is, they need somebody to bring it to them. You read Romans chapter 10. How can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone's sent? And how can, you know, and it goes on. They need to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These folks are far away from salvation. They're lost. You might be here today again. You live in a culture in Mississippi that says, good boy, atta girl, if you go to church, slap you on the back. You did right. You did right. But if you haven't crossed over and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be as appealing to God as the Pharisees were to Jesus Christ when he did his ministry on earth. And that's to say, not appealing at all, not close to him at all, far from him. If you're here today and you don't know that you've given your life to Christ, if you're not living for Christ, that might be the best way to know that you haven't given yourself to Him. You might need to heed and listen to this word and say, I don't want to be an enemy of you, Lord. I don't want to be a guy who's driving his own life and directing his own life and ignoring you the whole time. That's not who I want to be. I don't want to be the lady who demands her own way all the time and says, God, if you work with me, you and me will be friends. Isn't that how we do it? If God works for you, He's your God. If the circumstances change and you feel like you've been left behind, you start wondering, where is this God? What happened to me? What have you done for me lately? Y'all, that's the sinner's mindset. That is the sinner's mindset. And I know I'm using terms that make us uncomfortable. Most people won't say, I'm an enemy of God. Just like most people won't say, yeah, I'm a saint. Most people won't say, yes, I'm an enemy of God. I truly am a filthy sinner who is bound to hell, and I am doing anything I can to run my own life right into the ground. Anybody want to admit to that? No? Good. Because I'd be worried about you. But even though we won't admit it, there may be even some in here who live in that way. And I just want you to hear me. The Word of God says something to you. The Word of God has good news for you. The Word of God can draw you near, even though you've been far away. The Old Testament, the New Testament, I don't even got time to go into all of it, but you who were once far away, it says, have been brought near through Christ. You who were once estranged from the people of God are now the people of God. You who have not received mercy have now received mercy through Christ. It's available. And you might be saying, it's not for me, but maybe you know someone and you know they're not living for Christ. Get them, get the word to them. Pray the word for them. Read the word with them. Talk to them. You don't got to beat them over the head with it. But you need to let the life-giving word speak to them. They need it. Sinners need it. You know, this passage is not written by a sinner. Like I said, it's from the saint's perspective. You know, the greatest, the most unrepresented, I'm going to try to speak right, the most unrepresented group in any church. It's obvious. It's going to be the lost. It's going to be the sinner. Listen, this is what it says about them. Salvation is far away from the wicked. They do not seek your statutes. They don't even care to hear. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous, and am disgusted. Have you ever seen, like I said, about the rock, but you see people trying their own way. They're scheming, they're scamming, they're always trying. They're never trusting. They're always making their own way and building their own kingdom and building their own life. And you go, it's a sickness, man. You know, you need to stop and trust God. Listen to it again, because they do not keep your word. They're not here. I mean, there might be some here who are faking and put on church and Christianity as a facade because it's cool in Grenada, Mississippi to have that facade. But by and large, the lost aren't out here, are they? I mean, they're not in here. They're out there. You might say, I might be talking a lot about the lost, but we've got to get something to them because they need it. They need us. They need us to stand in the gap. They need us to get the word out. God has called us to that. They're not seeking. They're not knocking. They're not finding. We can help. Because they need the same thing we need. A merciful and awesome God. And here's our channel. Here's our avenue. How does the sovereign's power to revive, how does it come about? Certainly, it's a spiritual thing because God's word is a spiritual thing. But I want you to see just directly in the scripture how it works. Listen to the word according. According to means by the power of. Okay? That's the way to say it, by the power of. Listen to this. It's underneath, again, it's under the sovereign's power to revive. I call God the sovereign here. Let me just stop for a second. I did it because I had saints, and that started with an S, and I had sinners, and that started with an S. And I said, you know, let's use sovereign. Just this is for Van, because he loves alliterations. And so I used a word that starts with S from God, and it means sovereign, but I want to explain what it means. It means he's a king. It means he has some control, the control. Okay, do you understand what that means? The sovereign, he's our king, he's a Lord. The sovereign's power to revive. Listen to this. For I do not forget your law. Revive me according to your word. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. So how does this reviving come about? Because it comes about the same way for the sinner as it does for the saint. According to your words. Your word, according to your judgment, according to your loving kindness. All those things are attached to getting the word out. All those. Obviously, when it says, according to your word, he's meaning the word of God that you hold in your hand in Scripture. Judgments, that means not the word of God and how you see God acting in the world. Okay? Even your experience is brought into this. God judges. And he judges rightly. You know, this probably thinks back to the story of the Exodus when Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go, but he put his judgments on him until Pharaoh did let his people go. And he says, according to your judgments, according how you act, revive me in your word, according to how you act. And then that last one is the loving kindness. Anybody familiar with that word agape? Raise your hand if you heard the word agape. Isn't that the best Greek word in the world? It's the Greek word we all know. What does it mean? What? Y'all don't know what it means. You've heard it before, but no one's defined it. Y'all got laryngitis. What does agape mean? It means unconditional love. Tell me what it means on three. One, two, three. Oh, I heard that time. God's love, unconditional love. Agape is a strong word of the New Testament. It means I love you, and that love is not going to be broken. That love is strong. That love is mighty, mighty, mighty. That's the way God loves us. That's a New Testament term. In the Old Testament, there's the word chesed, and it's the agape of the Old Testament. It's the agape of the Old Testament, and it's exactly the word right here. Your loving kindness. Your loving kindness. And I'm going to tell you, God's loving kindness is not only experienced. I hope you all have experienced the agape loving kindness of God, because you won't want anything else after that. That's going to fill your heart up. But that loving kindness is not only experienced, but it is exampled. How would you know that God so loved the world? How would you know that God's loving kindness endures from generation to generation, like he says back in Exodus, if it wasn't revealed in the Word? How do you know you could trust your life with him? How do you know you can be open with your sin and that you'll be accepted by Christ? It's through the word. It's through the loving kindness of the word. This is how God works. Y'all, we've got to get the word out. We need the word to strengthen us and uphold us, but we need to get the word out to those who are dying. Not only is there a desperateness to being a saint, Lord, help us. There's such a desperate lostness to being a sinner too. If we weren't so overly sanctified, we might could imagine and remember the days before we knew Christ. How'd you feel? What were some of the fears you had? What were some things that made you lose your temper? What were those things maybe that had their claws in you? Maybe sometimes it still does as a child of God. Sometimes we struggle with addictions. But I'm telling you, God's the only one who can get us out of that. God's the only one who can help us fight it and have freedom. Who were you before God found you? Let me tell you who I was. I was scared. I really was. I was scared of life. I was scared of going forward. I was angry. I was angry sometimes. I didn't even know why. Sometimes just thought, just being born, the way my life turned out, that I didn't have what somebody else had. Angry. I was aimless. Somebody said, what are you going to do with your life? I'd throw some cuss words in while I told them I didn't care what I was going to do with my life. All my family was construction workers mainly. That's what I thought I was going to do. Raking and shoveling. Ain't nothing wrong with doing that for a living. I wasn't coordinated enough to be a carpenter or an iron worker. My family, my stepdad's family walks on top of these beams, like right here in this building, connecting those things together and doing that. Y'all never met me because I'd have died long ago. Because I am clumsy with a capital clum. Aimless, angry, afraid. You know, there's people out there just like that. They need to hear a word from you. They need to hear a word from God. But God's going to use you to share it. And they need it. You needed it. If you claim to be a friend with God through Christ, didn't you need it? Didn't you need someone to talk to you? Didn't you need someone to share with you? You did, didn't you? They need it too. And it's power. His word is powerful. His word is legitimate. Look at this. It's eternal and it's faultless. I love this. Verse 160 could be a study on God's word. And this is what I want the parting thought to be, because I can't leave you with this sermon. Not really. You'll forget about this by afternoon. Sermons don't last long in your mind. But get this. Take this with you where you go. Take this word with you where you go. Listen what it says. The entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of it. All of it is true. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Not only is it true, but it's eternal. You might say, well, you know, Big John ranted and raved up there, but I'm bringing it home right now. Saint, you need the word of God. It's entirely true and it's eternal. Sinner, you need the word of God. Because it's entirely true and it's eternal. It's never going to change. And saints, we need to get that word out to people because it's entirely true and it's never going to change. Jesus confirmed that, didn't he? Not one jot, not one tittle of this law will pass away, but heaven and earth will pass away. It says in the gospel, I call it the gospel, the good news of Isaiah, all flesh is grass, but the word of God endures forever. We're not going to get out of it. We're not going to get away from it. Embrace it. Embrace what the word of God has for you. Saint, you've been called to be on mission. You've been called to turn your case over to the Lord and let him plead it while you take care of his business. Sinner, you've been called to lay your life down before the Lord and give him your full allegiance and stop playing. Because there's going to be a time when you're going to want to be sure you're friends with God through Jesus Christ. So the invitation this morning is this. Where are you? Who are you with God? Who are you to God? Saint or sinner? Who are you to God? And how has his word permeated your life? Are you in the word? Are you sharing the word? Are you nourished and revived? If this man needed to be revived, revive me again, he says. Revive me by your word. Revive me by your judgments. Revive me by your loving kindness. We can't go on without it then. Let's get into that word. Let's carry the word to others. Let's go with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how you love us. And Lord, get your word in us. Get your word in us. Help us to be bold to proclaim it. Oh, how much bolder we will be if we are in it every day. How much more fruitful we would be if we were in your word daily, ready to share, willing to share. Oh, Lord, help us to be like that. Help us to be like this model that we saw who turned his afflictions, his circumstances, his troubles over to you and asked for a revival personally. Give us a revival at Christ Community Church to where we see the saints strengthened and the sinners saved. Only you can do that, Lord Jesus. And it's on your schedule, in your calendar, but Lord, we ask, bring it here. Bring it. Bring it through your people. Bring it through your word by your Spirit. Keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. If you're here today and you know you need the Lord, you know it. You know that despite your best intentions and despite maybe the good habit of coming to church, that you're not one of his. You don't have a relationship. You have knowledge, but you don't have saving knowledge. You don't know them. If that's you, would you raise your hand up so I can pray for you? That's all I want to do. God's doing a work in you that I couldn't stop anyway, and that I couldn't. I just want to know. I just want to pray for you. Is that you? You need the word. Is it somebody you know? They need the word. Don't make excuses about knowing what they need the word. Oh, and if you're a Christian that's struggling, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, because I don't know a sincere Christian who's not. Because we've been given an overwhelming task. Oh, won't you go to the Lord and His Word? Won't you pick it up and discipline yourself for your daily habit? Get in the Word so you can get the Word out. Father, again, we just thank You. I pray for whatever and all the work that You're doing, all the decisions, all the thought that's going on right now, and all Your teaching. Revive us. Revive us through Your Word. Show us Yourselves. Show us ourselves. And Father, we give You all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Job said, I like Your word. I love Your word more than my necessary food. I haven't gotten there yet, but that's a challenge for me. I hope to get there because I need it. We need it that much. If the ushers would come forward for the morning offering, and y'all just remember, God's invitation doesn't ever stop. You know, it might get to the point where the sermon ends, but if you think God's just as big as a sermon, as big as a church building, you need to get in the Word and find out. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He knows no bounds, and He loves you. Let me pray for our offering. Lord, as we take up this offering, be pleased. What an awesome time. What an awesome opportunity it is for us to give back, to show You. We trust You. We know who feeds us. And Lord, we just get a chance to worship You in this way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.